Part 4. You'll hear an interview with a photographer called Peter Lawson. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer A, B or C. You now have 1 minute to look at Part 4.
With me today I have photographer Peter Lawson, who's recently come back from an extended trip to South Africa. Welcome, Peter. So, tell us a bit about your latest trip.
Well, I set off nearly 3 months ago and spent the trip photographing animals in some of the many national parks South Africa has. I spent approximately a week at each one and returned home a couple of weeks ago.
So you were in Africa for quite a long time then?
Yes, it was about 10 weeks altogether, and it was quite hard. The climate was obviously much drier and hotter than I'm used to, and a lot of the time we had to rough it. No electricity, no comfy beds, and sometimes a lack of water. The hardest thing was not seeing my family for such a long time, but it was made slightly more bearable because we had access to the net. I could Skype regularly. It was worth it in the end, though, because I did some of the best work I've ever done.
What would you say makes a good photographer?
It's a combination of things, really. Equipment plays an important role. Using the right lens or filter can really enhance a photograph. Then, of course, there's training and experience. It's important that a photographer understands the technical side of his job. For example, how light can be used to improve the photographs he takes or make them more dramatic. However, none of these things makes up for instinctively knowing what makes a good photo. And, of course, a deep love of the job. If a photographer doesn't have those two qualities, then he'll never be consistently good, no matter what equipment he uses or qualifications he's got.
Yes, I imagine you have to be a creative sort of person with a good eye to be successful.
And unfortunately, even then it's not guaranteed. Competition is high because it's an attractive kind of job. Some people say it's glamorous, but that's often not the case. Take photojournalism, for example. To get a good shot often means hanging around in all kinds of weather, hoping that you're paying attention and your camera's ready at the split second when that important event happens.
Gosh, I can see how frustrating it must be to miss the shot. Are all photographers photojournalists?
No, there are other kinds too. Portrait photographers, scientific photographers, fine arts photographers. Over 50% of photographers are freelance. So they work for themselves rather than a studio or a newspaper or whatever. Often a freelance photographer will specialise in one area of photography, but undertake all kinds of assignments for customers, or sell their photos to stock agencies. They actually spend a very small amount of time actually taking photographs. Most of it is spent looking for business.
I know that you worked for both a newspaper and a studio before going freelance. Do you have any words of wisdom for any of our listeners who might be thinking about a career in photography?
Well, as I said before, competition is high, so it's important not to feel disheartened if you don't find a job quickly or start selling your photos immediately. The best thing is to keep at it until you do get a break, for example, as an assistant photographer. You could find other work while you slowly build up your portfolio and your reputation as a freelancer.
Now, we're running out of time. But I do want to hear about the work you do with teenagers in the area.
Okay. I run an after-school class at one of the local secondary schools. I teach photography to about 15 teenagers once a week.
That seems like a good way to supplement your income.
Actually, it's not. It's voluntary work. But I must say that it's very satisfying and I really enjoy it. The enthusiasm these youngsters show and their eagerness to learn really impresses me. We held a competition this year. Everyone submitted at least one photograph, and all the entries were exhibited in the town library. Residents voted for the best five, and the winning photographs were featured in the local newspaper. It was really successful. The photos are on show at the library, so you should come and have a look if you haven't already seen them.
I'd love to, Peter. Thanks for being with us today.
Now you'll hear part four again.
With me today I have photographer Peter Lawson, who's recently come back from an extended trip to South Africa. Welcome, Peter. So, tell us a bit about your latest trip.
Well, I set off nearly 3 months ago and spent the trip photographing animals in some of the many national parks South Africa has. I spent approximately a week at each one and returned home a couple of weeks ago.
So you were in Africa for quite a long time then?
Yes, it was about 10 weeks altogether, and it was quite hard. The climate was obviously much drier and hotter than I'm used to, and a lot of the time we had to rough it. No electricity, no comfy beds, and sometimes a lack of water. The hardest thing was not seeing my family for such a long time, but it was made slightly more bearable because we had access to the net. I could Skype regularly. It was worth it in the end, though, because I did some of the best work I've ever done.
What would you say makes a good photographer?
It's a combination of things, really. Equipment plays an important role. Using the right lens or filter can really enhance a photograph. Then, of course, there's training and experience. It's important that a photographer understands the technical side of his job. For example, how light can be used to improve the photographs he takes or make them more dramatic. However, none of these things makes up for instinctively knowing what makes a good photo, and, of course, a deep love of the job. If a photographer doesn't have those two qualities, then he'll never be consistently good, no matter what equipment he uses or qualifications he's got.
Yes, I imagine you have to be a creative sort of person with a good eye to be successful.
And unfortunately, even then it's not guaranteed. Competition is high because it's an attractive kind of job. Some people say it's glamorous, but that's often not the case. Take photojournalism, for example. To get a good shot often means hanging around in all kinds of weather, hoping that you're paying attention and your camera's ready at the split second when that important event happens.
Gosh, I can see how frustrating it must be to miss the shot. Are all photographers photojournalists?
No, there are other kinds too. Portrait photographers, scientific photographers, fine arts photographers. Over 50% of photographers are freelance, so they work for themselves rather than a studio or a newspaper or whatever. Often a freelance photographer will specialise in one area of photography, but undertake all kinds of assignments for customers, or sell their photos to stock agencies. They actually spend a very small amount of time actually taking photographs. Most of it is spent looking for business.
I know that you worked for both a newspaper and a studio before going freelance. Do you have any words of wisdom for any of our listeners who might be thinking about a career in photography?
Well, as I said before, competition is high, so it's important not to feel disheartened if you don't find a job quickly or start selling your photos immediately. The best thing is to keep at it until you do get a break, for example, as an assistant photographer. You could find other work while you slowly build up your portfolio and your reputation as a freelancer.
Now, we're running out of time, but I do want to hear about the work you do with teenagers in the area.
Okay. I run an after-school class at one of the local secondary schools. I teach photography to about 15 teenagers once a week.
That seems like a good way to supplement your income.
Actually, it's not. It's voluntary work. But I must say that it's very satisfying and I really enjoy it. The enthusiasm these youngsters show and their eagerness to learn really impresses me. We held a competition this year. Everyone submitted at least one photograph, and all the entries were exhibited in the town library. Residents voted for the best five, and the winning photographs were featured in the local newspaper. It was really successful. The photos are on show at the library, so you should come and have a look if you haven't already seen them.
I'd love to, Peter. Thanks for being with us today.
That is the end of part four. There'll now be a pause of 5 minutes for you to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. Be sure to follow the numbering of all the questions. I'll remind you when there is 1 minute left so that you're sure to finish in time. You have 1 more minute left. That is the end of the listening test. Please stop now. Your supervisor will now collect all the question papers and answer sheets.